Chapter 11, The Dark Den. "Oniva," said the sugar glider. "Off we go." Bismarck spun on his toes, then sidled alongside the jerboa. "You, my pocket-sized picaroon, will walk with me so I may educate you on the basics of taxonomy." Jerry squinted at Bismarck. "Is that another one of your exotic languages?" "Oh, mon Dieu," the sugar glider sighed. "You have much to learn, puny pal, much to learn." The brigade set out, Bismarck and Jerry leading the way, the others close behind. "Taxonomy," declared Bismarck, "the way we name and identify the creatures of this world." He cleared his throat, ready to deliver another one of his lectures. "The order of things, classification." He gave a whirl of his cape. "Naturally, sugar gliders are at the pinnacle, the peak, the tippiest of the top. Where you should start, perhaps, is the bottom. Bats. Why don't you go ask them how they ended up in such a sorry state?" Bismarck gave the jerboa a gentle push toward the chattering bats. Then he fell back a few paces to confer with Tobin. "I think he's a resourceful rodent, a fine fella, a jolly good chap," he said, elbowing the pangolin. "Yes," Tobin nodded, though his face crumpled in a disagreement. "I must admit," continued the sugar glider, "I wasn't so sure about the jerboa at first. But now I agree. He's a fine addition to the search party. Plus," he continued, scratching his bald patch absentmindedly, "one should never be criticized for diminutive size." "Oh, no," said Tobin, "not at all." "What are you two discussing?" asked Dawn. The nimble fox glided up to her friends, keeping an eye on the jerboa. "Just reviewing the character of our new acquaintance," replied Bismarck. "A good chap, that Jerry." Dawn gazed up ahead. Cora and the bats were gathered around the jerboa. "Tobin," said the fox, "what do you think?" The pangolin shrugged his scales. "Well," he said. "Yes," pressed Dawn. "Well," he began again. "Yes, he's a good chap." But the pangolin's answer was hesitant. Her brow creased with concern. Dawn looked carefully at the jerboa. Jerry was shuffling forward with his peculiar hopping gait, and the bats were clumsily mimicking his movements behind him. "Excuse me," Cora joined them, her soft voice edged with panic, "but I was wondering, do any of you hear that noise?" Tobin cocked his head to the wind. He heard howling nearby. "Oh, goodness," he uttered. "Are those coyotes?" Dawn finished. The fox let out a breath. "Enough fooling around now," she commanded the bats, who were still aping the jerboa's walk. "Let's walk in formation. We can't have anyone too far ahead of or behind the group." With Jerry still in loose holds, the nine nocturnals threaded their way through the shaded wood. After some time, Dawn stopped and motioned for the others to gather. "The coyote den is just ahead," she announced. "We must approach it with caution." "Approach?" balked the sugar glider. His bulbous eyes seemed to pop from his head. "When you say approach, do you mean what I think you mean? As in, get close to, go near, walk toward?" "The coyotes have lived here long, and they know the land well," explained Dawn. "They might be able to help in our quest." The fox gazed into the depths of the wood. "Or devour us." Bismarck wiped beads of sweat from his brow with his paw. Scared, trembling, definitely nervous, the bats all agreed, evaluating the sugar glider. Dawn sighed. "Perhaps it is best that I go alone," she resolved. "What's that, my lady?" The sugar glider leapt onto a rock. "You'd like me, the marsupial, to hold down the fort, to serve as our group's fearless leader whilst you are gone?" Dawn, not really listening to the sugar glider, focused on the dark wood ahead. Tobin padded to his friend's side. "I don't like the idea of you going alone," he said softly. "I'll come with you." "Very well." The fox smiled at her loyal brigade mate. Then she turned toward the others. "Be alert," she advised. Dawn scanned the group. Her gaze lingered on Jerry. "We do not know what dangers surround us."